Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 19th of January, recording at 4:48 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, in terms of market action here, and this is an early recording for me, as I'm off to a concert shortly, but in terms of activity, we're seeing mostly ranging. And that's occurring, I feel, as investors weigh up the implications of a tightening of global liquidity, ponder the degree to which global liquidity will be tightened. No one knows the answer to that, of course. I don't even think the central banks know the... Not only do they not know the answer to that, they probably don't know any more than the rest of us. In other words, they'll play it by ear, see what happens, see how markets respond, and that leaves investors also to ponder what implications a tightening of global liquidity, albeit from a super abundant period that we saw during 2003 and 2004, but what implications this will have for markets. Now, I think you know my view, which is just summarized in a nutshell, is saying that it creates a very stiff headwind for a number of high-flying markets, not least some of the stock markets that have done best. And I do feel that 2005 is likely to be a dangerous year. I don't think we need to panic out of anything at this stage. And you know my earlier comments throughout the last few months of last year really was that best case scenario, I could see the global stock market rally carrying well into the first quarter of this year. But more recently, the negative divergence that I've seen by a number of indices, not least being the United States, has caused me to feel that the risks were rising sooner rather than, or risks were appearing rather sooner rather than later. Now, in terms of activity here today, we've got mostly ranging. In Asia, we had a few small gains. Philippines was one of the better performers. That's one of the five markets that I cited earlier in the week. I think on Monday is showing late run potential in this environment. Europe had modest gains in the morning and turned most of those into modest losses. One exception to that, which concerns me a little bit in here, is what's known as the S&P MIB. That's the Italian stock market index, or the main index for Italy. I've got a hedge short position on there. It's an asymmetrical hedge against my remaining Asian investments and mining investments. And the MIB nudged through to a new high. I remember it had the downward dynamic last week and then pushed back up and just pushed through the high here earlier today. Did it pretty much all this morning and subsequently struggled to maintain that upward break, but it hasn't come down enough to constitute an upside failure. I'll watch that quite closely, because if that sustains the upside breakout throughout the rest of this week, I'll almost certainly close that position and take the loss, even though it's just a hedge position. I don't want to be short something that's still in an uptrend that's just reaffirmed itself once again. Now, DAX, where I also have a short position, is down a little bit in here today, but only five points. What else can I single out for you that's of interest? Japan, the Tokyo Second Section Index, amazingly, up 12. I think it's now 20 days out of the last 21 days. Although that's not so amazing for the second section index. It tends to be all one-way traffic once it starts to move. I maintain that that's a lead indicator far more often than not, which suggests to me that the Nikkei and Topics indices will break out of their current small trading ranges on the upside. Okay, in terms of government bonds, this was interesting here today. U.S. government bonds pushed up to new highs for the March contract. That's not new all-time highs. Those were back in June of 2003. But to say, they've been in a long trading range. They're still in a long trading range, but they did hit new highs, thus raising the prospect that they might be pushing up out of that trading range. They did that this morning, but then they fell back. So just to give you the prices, for instance, the March contract got up as high as 114.17, then fell back to 113.18, and is currently 113.22, down 7/22 on the day. So this looks like another upside failure. The market isn't closed, of course, but it will not be unless this sells off dramatically during the rest of the day. This will not look like an upside failure with a downward dynamic. My hunch is we're going to get more ranging. In currency markets, that was interesting in the sense that we had a weaker dollar today. The euro rebounded up to 131.19, but couldn't hold it. It's fallen back to 130.30, up by just 10 ticks. And one of the better performers, though, or I still have a position, was the Australian dollar, and that had a downside failure yesterday against the greenback, down out of a small trading range. Couldn't maintain it, which is usually a bullish sign to get a downside failure. And today it pushed up again in the morning up to 76.52. That was looking like a dynamic on the chart, but it has fallen back. Still up over half a cent, but it's at 176.05 as I speak. Mostly ranging activity in here. I am of the view overall that we've seen the best of the dollar's short covering rally, although I can't say that it's over. When the dollar was weakening, that did push up the precious metals, some of them quite sharply. Gold got up to 427, but as the dollar then subsequently rallied, gold's given up a lot of that. Most of that gain is currently back at 423.64 as I speak. I maintain that gold near 420 is really quite cheap and in a buying range. Now, silver also pushed up, did exactly the same thing, rallied up to 674.5 on the March contract, where I have a small position, but then fell back, say, unchanged on the day. Palladium's done a little bit better so far, at any rate. It's last at 189.5, and that's up $4 in here. And platinum is a bit stronger as well, although off its highs. The better gains have been seen in the LME metals. I've been wondering if they'd be paired back as well, and there's some signs of that. But for instance, tin, again, this market is not closed, but tin at 76.25, that's up 150. I've got a rollover long position there as well, so I'm still playing a number of these supply inelasticity markets. Now, I'm a bit apprehensive about them. I've said that tightening in global liquidity will create a more dangerous environment for many markets, particularly some of the ones that have done best. I've had numerous emails coming in, one of which I published because they've covered pretty much the same point. What does contraction in global liquidity mean for gold and silver? Well, it's not bullish, but my guess is that those markets will probably do better in terms of relative performance than, say, the U.S. stock market. That would be one of my views, and not least because the stock market I view as still being a secular bear market and likely to remain in a secular bear market for a very long time. While I believe that just the opposite for precious metals, that they are in a secular bull market and likely to remain so for quite a long time as well. And In the energy area, the price of crude oil is down here today. You remember that was quite strong yesterday for a while, got up close to the psychological $50 level, fell back, currently 47.85, but still this is closer to the 50 level that many people were hoping or felt that we would not see retested, rather than below 40, which a majority of forecasts that I've seen at any rate have predicted. I'm of the view, as you know, you may recall, that oil almost certainly saw the bottom of its medium-term correction in that reaction last month, which took it very close to the $40 level on the spot price. Natural gas, where I've still got a long position, albeit a stale bull long position, up in here today, 6:22 on the February contract. But again, it's, as I say, it's a, in terms of most of the market action in here right now, it is ranging. Among important lead indicators that I do watch, you know, I've mentioned Australia on many occasions. Australia has not come down very much, which is the bull point. It has been ranging for close to a month now in a rather narrow, tight range. Good news on that from the bullish standpoint is that there's no evidence of any increase in selling pressure. Also, one could say that this current loss of momentum or range is consistent with others that we've seen. If you look at a daily chart, for instance, of the Australian, I think it's called the S&P/ASX 200 index, that's the one I follow, that it's had a number of pauses within its very strong uptrend over the last several months, where it's paused for the last many months, so to go back about a year or so, and it has ranged for approximately a month, fairly tight range. In other words, just evening out of supply and demand, not encountering any significant selling pressure, and then broken up out of that range. And as I say, that range has usually lasted about a month or just under a month. So the longer the Australian index ranges at its current level, the more that would begin to represent an inconsistency, and after a very long move, of course, on the upside. Now, it hasn't done that yet, but that is something that I'm watching very closely, indeed on a daily basis. What does it need to do on the upside to reconfirm? We need to see a break above the 4,100 level that that holds. And if that were to occur, I think that would suggest to me that in terms of the clock, which or I'll use another analogy. I'll talk about sand draining out of the hourglass as far as this global stock market rally is concerned, and that would suggest to me that, well, it had either regained a little bit more sand or that the drainage rate had slowed somewhat. I do think the Australian market is an important lead indicator. Additionally, if some of the other good lead indicators were able to strengthen and push back up into new high ground, they would be Brazil in South America, India in Asia, and in terms of weight of overall influence on sentiment, indices such as the Nasdaq and S&P, if they were able to push back up into new high ground and for this rally and hold it, that would be quite a positive sign for global markets. I'm not going to predict that at this stage. But if markets are unable to do that, then we are further into the end game. If they are able to push up and just to reconfirm the existing or reaffirm the existing uptrends, that'll obviously suggest that the rally has a little bit more time. My overall strategy, though, is to lighten positions on strength. Have an excellent evening.